Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, we have some breaking news. I regret to inform you that top Trump administration officials don't seem to have a follow-up plan for Venezuela after arresting Maduro and his wife. Top officials within the administration were struggling to answer some seriously important questions during their Sunday morning media circuit live on TV. Questions related to congressional authority, which are very important. Questions related to who is actively running Venezuela and who is running Venezuela in the future seem to have no satisfactory answer. Even questions about the next steps, they seem woefully unprepared for. People from Pete Hegseth, not knowing what to say. Even Marco Rubio, they even sent out Senator Tom Cotton to mess up everything. Let me walk you through the series of interviews we've seen this morning, but just to back up. While the news was breaking yesterday, I think Representative Seth Moulton summarized it in the best possible manner with this clip.
Just stop for a second and be honest. This is insane. What the hell are we doing? I mean, we've got a lot of problems in America today. And invading, occupying, running Venezuela does not solve any of them.
All right, it is a quick, simple clip, but he really gets to the heart of it. There are so many problems in America, from the ACA subsidies expiring and healthcare rising, to the Epstein files needing to be released. We have problems with our own immigration system and electoral system. And the key that he says right there at the very end, he says, "Why are we invading, occupying, and running Venezuela? That doesn't solve any of our problems." The running part is very, very key because all throughout the morning, Trump administration officials were asked who is now running Venezuela, and their answer is essentially us, which I can't tell what's more scary, the idea that there's no follow-up plan whatsoever for the leadership of Venezuela, or the idea that their follow-up plan is to have Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio in charge. The political reality is there was a leader who's more respected than Maduro, way less fascistic, and was actually the rightful winner of their last election. Remember, Maduro stole the election. He stole it from the people. The rightful winner was Machado. But then Trump is now saying she doesn't have the respect to govern. So Trump is making the unilateral decision to veto the electoral results in Venezuela and install himself and Marco Rubio as the leader. Here's Marco being asked about this live on Meet the Press.
Mr. Secretary, who is in charge? Are you running Venezuela right now?
It's a really, really good, important question. And his answer is so unsatisfactory. He says, yeah, but then it doesn't seem like he actually means to say yeah.
Mr. Secretary, who is in charge? Are you running Venezuela right now?
Yeah, I mean, I keep people, you know, fixating on that. Here's the bottom line on it is we expect to see changes in Venezuela. Changes of all kinds, long term, short term. We'd love to see all kinds of changes. But the most immediate changes are the ones that are in the national interest of the United States. That's why we're involved here, because of how it applies and has a direct impact on the United States. Okay, we are not going to be able to allow in our hemisphere a country that becomes a crossroads for the activities of all of our adversaries around the world. We just can't allow it. We can't have a country where the people in charge of its military and in charge of its police department are openly cooperating with drug trafficking organizations. We're not going to allow that.
Okay, I agree that there were a lot of problems with Venezuela and with Maduro. Nobody is trying to downplay how terrible Maduro was, but he didn't answer the question. We don't even know who is in charge of Venezuela right now. To make matters even worse, like I said, Trump is trying to push the opposition candidate away from power. And while this is happening, Senator Tom Cotton is on CNN giving contradictory answers. Senator Tom Cotton, in this clip that I'm about to play, strongly implies that Maduro's vice president, who is equally as corrupt, equally as awful, may have a chance to regain power if Trump allows her. So this would mean this entire operation was meaningless. It was for show that Maduro gets replaced by Maduro's number two, the vice president. Just listen to the way Tom Cotton says, that there's a chance to turn a new leaf. This is going incredibly viral for a few reasons. Number one, it comes in stark contrast to what Marco Rubio just said, that the U.S. is in power. Now, apparently, we're giving a chance to Maduro's number two. What?
We'll see whether the vice president of Venezuela, who is sanctioned by the United States and many other countries, who was in league and hand-chosen by Maduro, wants to turn over a new leaf. I think we'll see whether or not they're going to let the opposition back into the country and have new elections, which is what the opposition itself wants. So there's still a lot of questions to be answered, but it's a great day that Nicolas Maduro, a illegitimate communist dictator and indicted drug trafficker, is no longer in charge of Venezuela.
Okay, this is batshit crazy. So first of all, we go into another country, we invade, strike, occupy for a night, and steal their leader. That part is already hard to get over. But now, the follow-up plan, as much as there is one, to the extent that there is a follow-up plan, seems to be allowing Maduro's hand-picked number two to regain power. What are we talking about?
But I guess the question is, who is right now? The vice president who you talked about, who I'll get to in a minute, Rodriguez, she technically, I guess, the Supreme Court said that she is in charge. Is she the person that the U.S. does officially recognize as a leader? And then again, I just want to go back to the president of the United States said, we Americans are now in charge or are now running Venezuela. I mean, that's a big statement.
That's some crazy shit, by the way. I thought that this was the America First, no new war administration. Now we are not only not prioritizing Americans and the American people, but we're running an entirely new country. By the way, I'm getting worked up here, but drop a like and subscribe if you appreciate the coverage on the Adam Mockler channel. It truly does go a long way to help boost the message and beat down MAGA media. To continue, Marjorie Taylor Greene hops on Meet the Press right after Marco Rubio, and we're in a situation where, again, I'm beginning to agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene more than the other Republicans. She seems to understand where the priorities of this admin lie.
I want to see domestic policies that prioritizes jobs and affordable housing for Americans after four disastrous years of the Biden administration. And I want to see domestic priorities that put Americans first in regards of health care. Health insurance costs too much, car insurance, home insurance. And these are issues that matter to Americans. We don't consider Venezuela our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is right here in the 50 United States, not in the Southern Hemisphere.
I honestly wholeheartedly agree with Marjorie's message here. There are so many problems the United States is facing, and none of those immediate problems was Venezuela whatsoever. I do want to point out, it is worth pointing out, this same interview later got contentious after Kristen Welker seems to be the first person to confront Marjorie over her old political statements about the Holocaust and about COVID. Listen, two things can be true at once. We can agree with Marjorie's current political messaging, where she's starkly breaking from the Trump administration and actually confronting Trump head on. I can agree with her messaging around affordable health care, affordable housing, and the Epstein files, while also admitting that her style of politics for the past 5 years has been fucking conspiratorial, batshit insane, reckless, and just awful for the health of our democracy. She's the type of person to come up with conspiracy theories that put the opposition's life in danger, and only when she was the ire of that type of danger, the subject of that type of ire, did she realize how bad this was. But listen to her getting confronted.
Beach must be protected.
Well, let me just, I mean, during COVID, you did compare lockdowns to the Holocaust. I understand your point about free speech, but let me press you there because Nick Fuentes has said on his podcast, quote, Hitler was awesome.
That's a misquote. Kristen, that's a misquote. That's a misquote. That's not correct. I compared vaccine cards, being forced to take a vaccine in order to be able to keep a job or buy or sell or be able to be admitted to restaurants. I compared that. I was not comparing. The Holocaust was horrible. I'm not comparing anything to that. Speech must be protected.
I mean, the actual quote was comparing house mask mandates and vaccine mandates to the treatment of Jewish people in Nazi Germany. Her comparison wasn't any better than she's trying to make it out here, but I digress. That is a separate issue. Going back to the subject at hand, which is Venezuela, Marco Rubio, in the same interview from earlier, then gets pressed about needing congressional approval. This is a very, very important question, because think about the precedent this sets. If the president of the United States can literally just send our military into another country to extract a leader, which is an act of war, strike that country, grab oil tankers off that country, take oil from them, then the president can unilaterally act on anything. Like, the next president that gets into power can do that with any country. There are no guardrails. There needs to be some sort of congressional approval before this.
Yeah, but now will.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I was referencing, obviously, the former president. White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles told Vanity Fair that an attack on Venezuela's mainland would require approval from Congress. Why didn't that happen, and will it happen with any future action the administration plans to take in Venezuela or elsewhere?
This was not an action that required congressional approval. In fact, it couldn't require congressional approval because this was not an invasion. This is not an extended military operation. This is a very precise operation that involved a couple of hours of action. It was a very delicate operation, too. It was one that required all these conditions to be in place at the right time in the right place. You couldn't afford leaks. We couldn't afford anything out there that would have endangered the mission and gotten people killed or killed off the mission and the optionality. We didn't even know if the mission was going to happen. How can you notify something you're not even sure if it can happen?
He's just bullshitting. I mean, one of the comments points out, Senator Rubio from 5 years ago would have been the loudest voice against his own argument today. And that's so true. I'm not going to lie. Senator Rubio used to actually have respectable, pro-democracy, pro-NATO, anti-Putin, pro-human rights takes. But now he seems to have gotten lost in the sauce, has no moral clarity about any of this, and is saying that because this wasn't an extended invasion, you don't need congressional approval. Susie Wiles was right. The White House Chief of Staff said in an interview less than a month ago they would need congressional approval, and now all of a sudden they don't. Or at least they think they don't because Trump is expanding his executive power in an authoritarian manner. Here is Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth then getting asked, are we going to have troops on the ground in Venezuela? And again, you just don't get a satisfactory answer. There are so many unprepared answers. So think about this. If I just zoom out, official after official have gone on TV today, from Marco Rubio to even Tom Cotton, then Pete Hegseth hops on TV, and they all have different messaging, different answers, different reasoning. They're all stuttering over themselves.
Well, Mr. Secretary, I'd love to talk about the mission now, because there are questions about what happens next in Venezuela. The president said today that the U.S. is going to be running the country. What does that look like? Does that mean we're going to see Americans on the corners of Venezuela, in the government of Venezuela? Are you prepared to have troops on the ground in Venezuela?
Well, it means we set the terms. President Trump sets the terms, and ultimately he'll decide what the iterations are of that. But it means the drugs stop flowing. It means the oil that was taken from us is returned, ultimately, and that criminals are not sent to the United States. It means that foreign countries don't have a lodgment inside our hemisphere. So ultimately, we're going to control what happens next because of this brave decision. President Trump has shown American leadership, and he'll be able to dictate where we go next.
This is really what I like to hear. Pete Hegseth saying, we are going to control what happens next. So there's two parts to the regime change. Now, the first part, removing the dictator in power, is oftentimes the part that goes well. It's the quick, seamless part. But what follows in the 24 to 48 to 72 hours, in the weeks passing, is very, very extra important. Different factions are currently fighting for this power vacuum, which means we only have a certain amount of time before absolute violence breaks out due to this vacuum of power. Different competing gangs, different competing groups of cartels are all trying to accumulate power and fill this in the moment. And here we have Pete Hegseth saying that him and Donald Trump are controlling the situation from, you know, thousands of miles away without even going boots on the ground. I'm sorry, but that does not instill that much confidence in me. John Hudson from WAPO says, I pressed Marco Rubio on whether he and Hegseth lied to Congress when promising to seek congressional approval. A lot of Democrats in Congress are saying they were lied to by this administration. They heard there was no invasion, no military exercise, nothing was going to happen. Then they all woke up in the middle of the night to this shocking news. No coordination from the admin. This says, in an interview with the Washington Post, Rubio denied that he lied and said he promised to get congressional approval only if the United States, quote, was going to conduct military strikes for military purposes. Then what do you call this? This is quite literally military strikes for military purposes. So much so that we might even go boots on the ground. Quote, this was not that. This was a law enforcement operation, Rubio said. When pressed that U.S. forces bombing Pennsylvania, seizing its leader, and claiming to run the country would be widely interpreted as military operations, Rubio did not relent, saying, the mission last night was in support of the Department of Justice. And in there, you can see the legal argument that the Trump administration is trying to craft, that this was all in support of a law enforcement operation for the Department of Defense, that this was not a military operation, therefore it's not a war, and you don't need congressional approval. But that is BS. What do you call the military going in, bombing, seizing its leader, and then running the country? That is by definition a military operation. And while all of this is happening, Katie Miller, Stephen Miller's wife, Katie Miller, is posting soon, and it's a photo of Greenland, owned by the United States, Canada, also owned by the United States. I mean, she's out there posting all these insane dictatorial things. Someone says, who needs Hegseth signal chat for classified info when you can just read Stephen Miller's wife's Twitter? We also learned plans for secret U.S. raid to capture Maduro leaked to the Washington Post and New York Times before it happened, but both decided not to publish to protect U.S. troops. This is wild. So honestly, I think they made the right call by not publishing the information as the operation was ongoing. Think about the outroar that there would be. You can't just leak the coordinations of our troops. But Pete Hegseth already leaked the coordinates of our troops, and this means somebody leaked something. How the hell does every single military operation carried out under Pete Hegseth end up leaking to the news? Whether it's the original one, where the Atlantic was accidentally added into a group chat, or whether it's this, how do the Washington Post and the New York Times learn about every operation before it happens? Let me again say, I think they made the right call by not just posting about it, but holy shit, this administration is incompetent, and I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe. If you made it this far, check out the Jubilee YouTube channel where you'll see my debate. It should be out by the time you're watching this. Adam Mockler debates 20 Trump supporters on Jubilee. I love you all, and peace out.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.